Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning or good afternoon. This is George Gaumont, and welcome to the show. I don't see anybody in the chat room right this moment. So, well, please join me, and let's have some fun today. We're going to talk about, and I have some articles, too, and, you know, I sometimes let my spirit guides talk to you, and if you have any questions that are related to, one of the things I do is soul readings. I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but I'll get back on track here. One of the things I do is soul readings. In a soul reading, basically I'm reading you or letting my spirit guides read you and what your soul wants you to do. It's not so much about when things are going to happen in your life, because I'm a real law of attraction person that you create your own reality and your own world, and your thoughts create your future. And you do have a life plan and all that. But, you know, your thoughts and your actions and your feelings and all that are all kind of wrapped up together in some kind of sequential order, and you create your future. But the soul knows what you should be doing, because you have a life plan. You're here to do something in your lives. So soul readings is about, okay, this is what your soul wants you to know. This is what your soul is looking at you doing in the next day, hour, week, year. This is a sense of direction where you could be going, where you could be more effective. This is where your personality or your ego are blocking you from getting to what you want. I'm really big into the difference between the soul and the ego being the personality. And there's nothing wrong with ego, and my spirit guides talk about this all the time. But when ego goes into survival mode and ego goes into fear mode, then you limit your life. So you got to get out of fear. So what is, you know, be your soul was the topic, and I'll get into that. I have some articles, and I thought, you know, it's about having fun. It really is. So I had an article I thought would really be cool article to go over. It's about 11 delicious facts you never knew about Girl Scout cookies, because it's Girl Scout cookie time again, you know. So the little girls show up in front of your office building, your strip mall, or wherever you live. You'll have some facts about Girl Scout cookies. And look, really, seriously, it's having fun. I'll get back to what I mean by being your soul. And being your soul would be buying Girl Scout cookies. Now you're going, what are you, is he talking about? Okay, let me go back over the idea of being your soul and what that means. Because your soul is really based on love. Your soul is based on happiness. Your soul is on enjoying life and experiencing things and doing things. Just having the great adventure which your life is. And so being your soul would be identifying with those things, right? Being your soul would be laughing, smiling, having fun, enjoying life, living your passions, living your joys, experiencing nature, you know, just experiencing beautiful things, you know, experiencing beautiful art, beautiful music, a wonderful, inspiring movie, or something that just kind of scares you a little too, but that's okay. Yeah, being your soul is living in the moment of enjoying your life and having some fun and living your passion and doing things that you really intend to do in your lifetime. That's being your soul. Being your ego is like afraid of everything and watching the evening news and going, oh my God, what's going to happen to me, right? It's not about survival. It's about joy. Simple thing. It's about joy. It's about happiness. If you're living your soul, because your soul is the joyful expression of yourself. You know, I've talked about this, and my spirit guides have talked about this, the idea that the universe, God, spirit, whatever you call it, your soul, your higher self, is actually experiencing through you, is experiencing this physical world through you. I mean, in simple terms, God is experiencing the world through you. And so, what do you do to be frustrated and angry all the time and living in fear or watching fearful things all the time? Or does God want to experience you having great adventures? Kayaking down a river, climbing a mountain, sailing the ocean, whatever it is, just being joyful. So that's what it's about. So that's basically, in simple terms, being your soul is being full of joy and love and just having some fun and living your purpose, knowing what your purpose is. So soul readings are about, okay, what does your soul want to tell you today about you? You know, if you're in the chat room and if you want to ask a question, I just need your real first name and your date, day and month of your year, and I can give you a little bit of what your soul wants you to know today. It's not... See, I did psychic work for a long time, you know, many, many years in psychic work, and it was all about, when is this going to happen? When's my boyfriend coming? When am I going to get a new job? Blah, blah, blah. When am I going to get my new house? And I, as more and more I got into the law of attraction, and that we attract what we want in our life, the vibration we put out is the vibration we get back. For most people, if I tell you something about a job or a boyfriend, if you believe it and you're living from that vibration, you're going to get it. But if you hear something that somebody predicts and you go, yeah, right, sure, 1,000 people have told me the same thing and nothing has ever happened, right? Well, you're living in a vibrational place where you're not going to attract. All you're going to attract is that negative vibration. So I kind of got away from that. I decided, you know, and I was kind of coaxed out of it, which is a good thing. Well, yes, that's a long story we're not going to get into. But yes, so I got coaxed out of that. And so it's really now it's about, okay, what can I do? Not so much about when, but what can I do? How? How do I get there? How do I get what I want in my life? And your soul knows. So it's a tapping into your soul, your essence, your higher self, the God self, whatever you call it. So that's what the show is about. So if you want to call in, if you have questions on this, however you want to do it, you have questions in the chat room. I see there's a couple people in there, so having fun. So I'm going to get into some articles. I'll let my spirit guides talk to you a little bit later in the show, and we'll have some fun. And questions. I always get callers, and I always set up enough articles so that on different topics, because I think living from your soul is really all about just doing things you love to do. I think I talked about the Girl Scout cookies. And I got some articles on quotes on silencing the mind or being still, which is meditation. You know, living from your soul is not about going to some cave in the Himalayas and meditating for 10 years to connect with your soul. I believe you could connect in your soul in the big city. I believe you can connect in your soul anytime you want to just by having that intention and being open to that concept. Now, being still and quiet does help somewhat. If you're always fussing about your life, it's a little harder. Then I have an article about which vitamins and herbal supplements can you trust. I thought, you know, mind, body, spirit kind of thing. You know, what's, you know, it, protecting the body and taking care of your body so that you can live a joyful life is really important. It is really a mental, physical, and emotional health is really important in living this kind of life. So, we got callers, got people in the chat room. So if you want to ask me about what your soul wants to know for you today, just give me your name and date of birth. Again, I know some of you people, so it's okay. I know who you are. If you just ask a question, I'm not gonna presume you want to know, right? No. So that's about the article, and that's I got a great article. I get these from different sources, and I forgot where this one's from. This is from WebMD about 12 rewards of exercise. Ooh, I exercise daily. I don't know. I do a little bit of weight training, and I do, what do I do? Weight training, yoga, some other kind of exercises, and a lot of walking. I jog, but my knees said, yeah, you don't like jogging. No, that's not our favorite thing to do is jogging. Okay, so I walk with my dog, and we do a couple miles a day. I'd go faster, but, you know, I found that I can walk faster than I can jog, which is kind of weird, but okay. That's a whole different topic, you know. That's a whole thing. I won't be here tomorrow, so I mentioned that right away. I'll be here on Friday. Got things to do tomorrow. Tomorrow's my free day. So what does your soul want you to do? Oh, thank you. I look like I... thank you. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. Not a total couch potato, but certain times, right? But yes, actually I do yoga while watching TV. I guess I should be listening to some kind of spiritual music, but I watch music while doing yoga, but I'm actually watching NCIS and doing yoga. Okay, or whatever, right? You know, it's like, yeah, watch football and do yoga. It kind of works together in a way because it gets you inspired. Anybody watch the Super Bowl? I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, and I was kind of like bummed, but I'll get over it. I'll get over it. Sometime in the near future. Yeah. What else? Okay, here we go. So, my friend, what's your first name? No, really, your first name. Come on. Give me your first name. Then I'll give you. That's right. We've talked before. You've asked me some questions before. Yeah, you're the good Libra. I like Libras. Some people say that. Yeah, that's right, Lori. I'm not convinced. What was I going to say, Lori? Yeah, Libras. I don't know what Libras match up with. I used to know all this stuff about what's a good match. What is a good match for a Libra? Are you married? Do you have a good match? Is your partner? I know I'm a Scorpio, and Cancers and Scorpios match up well, is what I hear. I don't know. Okay, let me tune into you, Lori, and see what I get for you. What your soul wants you to do today. I mean, this is the near future. This is not like years from now. What actions should you take? Here's what I get. And I said actions, and I think that was the key word they were leading to me to, and I was being led to about you and your soul. It is about taking action. And I get the word confronting, like confronting things. It's like the knight, or it's like Don Quixote confronting the windmills. I mean, in a literally, that would be confronting and challenging or working through difficulties, and it's time to take on those challenges, not to shrink back from challenges. Ooh, that's good, isn't it? Not to shrink back from challenges. Okay, and what I hear for you, and this is what I get from your essence, your soul, you have angels on your shoulders. I mean, angels on your shoulders. Not one, but angels, because I see this picture of angels carrying you through your difficulties. So there's a little bit of a reliance for you, that you have this guidance behind you, with you, to lift you through this and pull you through this. You have to trust. You have to ask God or ask the angels, help me to get through this. Help me face this challenge. Give me the wisdom, the guidance. Angels are messengers from God. You knew that, right? Everybody knows that. That's the big thing about angels. They're messengers from God. They give messages. You know, the Bible angels, they delivered messages. Get out of Sodom and Gomorrah now, right? You know, move it, right? No, get out of here before you turn to pillars of salt or whatever, right? The angels came to people at different times to tell them to take action. So the angels are going to help you by giving you guidance. I don't know why I get this. This is kind of cool. It's really kind of an interesting thing. It's angels will help you. Oh, wow, depression. Well, that's your ego. That's your ego. Depression sometimes is an ego-based thing, and you have to deal with it how you deal with it, whether it's through medication or whatever you do, or, you know, some kind of cognitive therapy that you need that. But in this case, I mean, we're going to narrow this down to why would you get depressed when the angels, you're asked. I think you're scared of the answers that you'll get. I think you're scared of, now you tell me I'm wrong. You can tell me I'm crazy, but this is what I get. You're scared that the action you might have to take, that there is action. You can't just sit back and wait, right? Got it? You have to ask, how do you be more aware of angels? You got to get into a quiet meditative state, and you just have to ask. Oh, and here's the other thing I hear for you. And we're going on and on about this, but that's okay. This is fun. I enjoy this too. No, ask for signs. Give your angels like 24 hours to show you a sign that they're with you. Now, it's not that they're going to show up in your living room and this beautiful angel is going to be standing in front of you. I don't mean that kind of sign. But you'll get little angel things around you. You'll start seeing angel stuff, however that comes to you, right? So how do you know your angels are paying attention to you? Because you ask them, show me that your presence is with me. And you'll get you know, like a bus with an angel on the side, right? You'll turn on the TV and it'll be a show about angels. It'll be an angel baby song on the radio, right? Just little indicators. Yes, you'll get the synchronicity will start happening in your life. And you go, wow. But you got to be aware. You got to be open to it. You can't be so closed off and so isolated in your own life that you don't pay attention to it. Okay, I'm going to let you go. So that's your thing if you want to call in more. But let me get into some of the articles. Let's have some fun. You know, as I said, being attached to your soul or living by your soul or being your soul, whatever expression you want to use there, is really all about having some fun in life. So, Lori, go have some fun. Go find something fun to do. Let the angels rejoice with you in the fun that you're having. Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one. Let the angels rejoice with you. Smile and laugh and let the angels laugh with you. I don't know why I get angels around you. They like you a lot for some reason. Raphael wants you to know that you have a delightful heart or being. Why do I get Raphael? Raphael is a healing angel. So that healing energy is with you. Emotional, physically, and psychologically. So ask Raphael for some healing. Okay? I get Raphael, not the bright light kind of angel. A little bit not dark in the negative sense, but Raphael, it's a glorious, beautiful, colorful angel, if I could use that expression. See a lot of greens and, yeah, because it's healing, right? Greens. I see a lot of greens around Raphael. Okay, so just ask for help. Okay, I'm going to go. So I said we're going to have fun. So we're going to have some fun. Did I use the word soul a lot? I try not to. It's a word whisper. I studied broadcasting long time ago, and they always warned us about using word whispers like you know, you know, you know. A lot of people use you know, you know, you know, or so, or whatever it is. It's little fillers. You try to break yourself, slap yourself every time you use what, right? Okay, let me get into an article. If you want to stay with me, fine. If you want to go talk to your angels, go talk to your angels. Or you want to call in, or if anybody else who's in the chat room or wants to come into the chat room and ask about a soul reading, please do. Okay. Or call in for it. Same thing. Same difference. And let me give you something. I'm going to have fun with this, and then we're going to go, I'll let my spirit guides talk to you about being more soulful. 11 dishes, delicious dishes, 11 delicious facts. I did my dishes. 11 delicious facts you never knew about Girl Scout cookies. You can't eat just one. It's like that other commercial, right? Girl Scout cookies are surely an American staple food. They instantly incite joy and excitement in most people who hear that there are some Scouts nearby selling them. You don't think twice about purchasing Girl Scout cookies. They belong in your life always. Now, that's really a pretty optimistic statement. But Renee Jacques is the author. Renee must love Girl Scout cookies, right? Okay, delicious fact number one. Every year since 1999, Girl Scout cookies bring in about $700 million. That's $1 million in revenue. $700 million in revenue. That's a few bucks for cookies, isn't that? A few dollars, right? That means about 200 million boxes are sold at varying prices per a box. Now, this is the good point. This is good. I liked it when I read this one. 75% of the proceeds go to the local council, while 25% go to the bakers that bake the cookies. So most of the money goes back to, more so than other charities. Yeah. Other charities elect. So much of it goes to administration, but this goes back down to your local areas, which is a very good thing, right? A very good thing. Help the Scouts. Delicious fact, too. The whole operation started with a troop holding a small bake sale selling sugar cookies in 1917. So they're going to have a 100-year anniversary soon. That's cool. 100 years, almost 100 years of Girl Scout cookies. What things have lasted 100 years, right? Then 1922, a regional director of the Girl Scouts of Chicago created a simple sugar cookie recipe and published it in the nationwide newsletter American Girl. All 2,200 Girl Scout troops started baking the cookies and selling them. So first it was a homemade thing, right? A homemade thing. Okay. Delicious fact three. Now, if I mispronounce some of the words of these cookies, don't shoot me. Please don't shoot me. Just, you know, you look them up, right? As of 2011, they account for 175 million. Oh, no, wait a minute. We're three. Let me back up. I missed the main point here. Thin mints are the most popular cookie. As of 2011, they account for 175 million of the profits. It would be the glorious mix between chocolate and mint, or maybe it's because they have the most cookies per box. The great popular cookies in order of profitability are s'mores, 133 million, tagalongs, 93 million. Do-si-dos and Savannahs at 71 million and trifolds at 63 million. Now, what if you could bake a cookie and make $63 million off your cookie, huh? Isn't that an enticing idea? Go bake some special cookies and then you have to go nationwide with your cookies, right? Okay, I'm just kind of thinking, yeah. I can see a movie in this and some older guys, you know, thinking, hey, we could make a bunch of money making cookies. That's a movie idea, right? And they dress up like old Boy Scouts making Boy Scout cookies. Or special brown. Never mind. We'll leave that alone. Okay, well, I'm going to go on. Delicious fact four. Depending on your local council, your Girl Scout cookies will either call the cookies by their literal or creative names. That's because your local council gets its cookies from two Girl Scout cookie bakers, ABC Bakers or Little Brownie Bakers, depending on the location. Each bakery titles the cookies differently. But don't worry, they're still getting the same cookie, whether it's labeled as a s'more or a caramel delight. Okay, next fact is really interesting about this. I know if you're in the chat room or if you're calling in, I'll be with you in a minute. I really want to go through this article because I think it's really a fun article about Girl Scout cookies. I didn't know this stuff. Okay, so I hope you're enjoying it. In 1933, you could buy 44 cookies for just 23 cents. Wow, what a deal. But, you know, you made a lot less money per hour, too, back then. So it's all relative. It's all a relative thing. The girls have been known to make do with what ingredients they had. During World War II in the 1940s, girls started selling calendars instead of cookies due to the sugar, flour, and butter shortages. At the time, all that stuff went to feed the soldiers, right? Yes, the troops. See, feeding the troops. That's a whole political thing I'm not going to get into, right? I'm going to leave that one alone. Let that one lie somewhere on the ground. If you get your cookies from Little Brownie Bakers, no high fructose corn syrup was used to make them. That's an interesting point. Now, Little Brownie Bakers, no high fructose corn syrup was used to make them. If you know what the problem with that is, right? All that saturated fat, high sugar content, right? And since Little Brownie is the baker that titled their cookies by their popular names, if your Girl Scout is selling you tagalongs or trifolds, you're in the clear. So you got healthier choices. You keep going around to different groups. All right, okay, what do you sell? What's the name of your cookies? Okay, you got the healthier ones. I'm going to buy yours, right? I don't think they'll know where I guess if you look at the package, it would probably tell you who baked it. I'm not sure. I have to look at the package. I have to buy a bunch of packages of Girl Scout cookies to see where they were baked. Okay. Delicious Fact 7. I'm getting there. We're almost done. All of the girls on the boxes are real scouts. It's refreshing to know that those girls are truly happy and real Girl Scouts instead of models. Aha! Delicious fact, certain Girl Scout show awards at the end of the season in 1998, the Girl Scout headquarters introduced rewards for girl cookie sales on an incentive to choose as many cookie deals as possible during the season. And let me move through this because the next one I thought was really, really cool. really interesting. Now, there's an incentive here, and this is amazing. In 1985, one 13-year-old sold more than 25,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. In Falls Church, Virginia, Elizabeth Brinton sold 11,200 boxes. 11,000. You know how much space 11,000 Girl Scout cookies? I could sell like big as a house, right? That's a lot of freaking cookies, right? And Girl Scout cookies in one season. Her success was presumably due to her rather aggressive efforts. She stalked, I like that word, she stalked crowded subway stations and lured potential buyers with lines like, they're tax deductible. I wonder if they are. That's a good question. I don't know. Anybody know? And we take checks. Once the sucker would pull out a check, she would follow up with, why not buy a whole case? This girl's got to be some kind of marketing or sales genius somewhere, you know? If you probably look up the name, she's probably the sales manager for some big corporation right now. I mean, that's pretty aggressive. I love that. I was in sales for years and years, and I would love that idea. Why not? You got your checkbook out. Why not buy the whole case, you know? And why? Just, you're writing a check anyway, right? How fun is that? That's pretty clever, kid. Maybe your father's a sales manager somewhere, right? There have been a lot of failed flavors. Now, this is good. Each of these flavors has been discontinued throughout the years. Allabouts, shortbread cookies dipped in chocolate with messages explaining the girls' values like respect and friendship. Daisy go-rounds, cinnamon-flavored cookies shaped like daisies. I'm going to say this right. I am going to get this one right. Double Dutch cookies. Chocolate cookies with chocolate chips. Ooh, that feels like rich and... Okay, for some reason, and strawberries and cream. Sandwich cookies with vanilla cream and strawberry jam. Ooh, that sounds kind of gross anyway. I wouldn't buy those. But I might be... The Double Dutch cookies, now that sounds like something I would buy. I don't know about you guys. Am I getting hungry for Girl Scout cookies yet? Are you really into this yet? Are you going to run out and look for Girl Scouts? Drive up and down the boulevard. Drive up and down the strip malls or the businesses in the area looking for Girl Scouts. I don't know when they start selling them. Anybody know? You can track the delicious fact 11. This is the last one, and I'll get back to the chat room or who wants to talk to me. You can track where and when to buy cookies on your smartphone. I just asked that question and I just read the answer. You can download a Girl Scout cookie finder app on your iPhone or Android to track down where your local Girl Scouts will be selling these precious cookies. Good luck. Now, notice that again. Girl Scout cookie finder app on your iPhone or Android to track down. I'm going to look that up. Ooh, I'm going to post this on Facebook. If anybody, post this on Facebook for anybody who's with me on Facebook, if you want to read this later, and if you forgot something about the statistics or about where to look it up, you can find it there, okay? Girl Scout cookies. I like the ones with the chocolate ripple. I don't know what they are. I have no idea what they are. I just like them. Okay, so we're having fun today. If anybody, back to you guys, and I hope you enjoy that little article about Girl Scout cookies. It's about having fun. So what does your soul want you to know today? Oh, what was the question? How does cookies help us in our daily needs? You left, but let me answer that question. That's a really good question. Wow, all these questions. And I go back to what I said earlier about cookies, about life, about living, about enjoying it. And I said it's connecting with your soul. And if you're having fun and if you're eating a delicious cookie and your soul is experiencing a delicious cookie and you're feeling good, you're putting out this vibration of feeling good, right? If you're putting out this vibration of feeling good, you attract feeling good things. It's the law of attraction. You're putting out good feelings. You're feeling good. You know, for my friend, and I don't know if you're still there, but I'll give you this kind of example. When I was in sales for years and years, and one of my best months ever, and I will I will help you with your soul in a minute. What's your first actual first name again? And your year and month of date of birth, year and month of birth. And then I'll let me explain this thing about enthusiasm, passion, and all that stuff. I was in sales, and I did a commercial for the company I was working for, Saturn, actually, the car company. And when I did the commercial, I was so high, so up, so positive. I had this great energy from doing that and being involved in this really cool environment. I had my best month, absolutely best month. Okay, Mary, I'll be with you in a second. So if you're feeling good, if you're having a Girl Scout cookie and that feels really good, and you go back to work or you go back to doing stuff and you're feeling good about yourself and you're feeling passionate about yourself and you really feel good, I'm not saying cookies are the cure-all. I'm not trying to say that cookies themselves will change your life. No. But the idea of cookies is really all about just getting that little thing that might make you feel, let's say you're a little down, you know, things aren't going well, and you have this delicious cookie or delicious whatever it is, and you feel good in something that you love doing, whatever it is. It could be a cookie. It could be a walk in the park. Whatever it is, you get your vibration back up into a positive place, then you start creating positivity in your life. And that was my case of what happened with me, is I was really on this high, and it just kind of blasted forward to people I was talking to, and people just bought for me because I was high, I was positive, my enthusiasm, my emotional level was really high, and people catch that. People feel it. They feel that you're feeling good. They want part of that, right? They want to feel good. Okay, Mary, I'm back to you. I'm sorry. I mean, I was rambling on and on about why eat cookies, you know, why Girl Scout cookies. And it was just an entertaining thing. But it really, there is a positive message in that of just feeling good. And that enthusiasm, people want that. People want to feel that enthusiasm. They want to be involved in that enthusiasm. Okay, Mary, back to you. Okay, let me focus on you for a moment. Well, you're on the cusp, aren't you? Wow, I think you're still a Cancer, if I'm correct understanding that. I don't think you're into Leo yet. Maybe I'm wrong. It could be right on the cusp of Leo and Cancer and all that fun stuff. You know, the word I get around you, and it really, I don't know why I get this word, because I got into Leo and Cancer, and I got the word exhibit. Exhibit. Exhibit, which means exhibit, and let me see if I can get a definition of exhibit for you. It means you need to show something, do something, be something. Exhibit, it's like put something out there that who you are. It's like don't hold back. I know, you're kind of like, what does he mean by exhibit? But it's like you exhibit a painting, but it really is about something you do. It's about exhibiting. It could be show courage, but exhibiting something about yourself, putting it out there. So your husband has Cancer, right? That's what you're telling me. And, oh, okay, I get it. If he has Cancer currently is what you're saying. He's dying. Okay, I know what they're saying. Okay, give me a chance here and I'll give you what I'm getting for you. Your soul wants to put out you to, you know, it's easy to get into a negative place when somebody you love dearly is suffering and dying. And it's really hard, but exhibit happy face. Exhibit some positive energy. Be love. Just be love. Don't wallow. He doesn't need you to wallow in misery at this point. He needs you to be love, to be encouraging. Just bring in the happy stuff. Bring in the happy memories. Bring in things that he loves to do. Talk about things he loves. Let him live his life feeling like, wow, I love doing this. I love doing that. And don't let him get too sentimental or too negative about this. But just share the beauty of life. Let him go with the beauty of life. So exhibit all those positive things so he feels that he's loved. And let him, I keep getting the same energy over and over again, be the person that shows to him love and all the demonstrations of love. I guess that would be the best way. I hope you understand what I'm saying, and I hope that doesn't affect you in a negative way. But being being too sentimental, being too negative, being too, you know, weepy all the time. It's not going to help with this transition. This transition will be helped with just love and happiness and smiles and laughter. I see the picture of watching really funny movies together. Just watching whatever his favorite funny movie is. Watching beautiful funny movies together. Do that. Or if he loves action movies, you know, whatever he loves doing, whatever he loves to watch, watch those with him. Do those things, right, that he loves to do. If he loves watching sports, you know, whatever it is, just do it. Okay, that's your answer. So exhibit, and then I think that's what they mean by exhibit for you. Westerns, yeah. What kind of westerns? What kind of westerns? The old TV westerns or the old movies? I'm trying to think of what my favorite western was of all time. I liked Bonanza. That goes way back, right? Bonanza was a cool one. I liked Bonanza. Little Joe and Hoss and all those people, right? Yeah. Wagon Train was a cool one. Okay, I'm going to let you go. So that's your answer. That's what I get. Now you can decide. But you got to kind of go over there. Let him have some fun. Yes, let him have some fun. Let him enjoy what he's enjoying. You know what? I tell you what to do. And when he does transition, and when he comes back to visit you, and he will. Absolutely. And I really get this kind of weird energy, and you can tell me later on, whenever this is, you know, years from now or whenever it is, right? That I'm going to say that he will turn the he will cause you to watch westerns. You know, he's going to play tricks on you sometime in the, you know, from the non-physical world. He's going to turn on the TV to westerns. He's going to make you stop to watch. He's going to make you watch westerns. Just to remind you of him, okay? So look forward to that. Oh, you'll love it. You'll be excited. You know that he's around you wanting to watch westerns with you. Yeah, wanting to experience through something that he really loved to do. Okay? I know. She's going, no, stop it. No, not me. No, I want to watch dramas. I want to watch sci-fi or whatever it is you love to watch, right? Nope. It's going to be westerns. Sorry, you're going to be stuck with westerns for the rest of this lifetime. Okay, let me do something here with this. That was fun. Okay, what was I going to say? I'm rattling on and on and on. So my friend who kind of disappeared on me and was in the chat room and asked this question about how does cookies help us do our daily needs? It just gets in a better frame of mind. It gets us in a positive direction. If we're kind of down, have a cookie. You know, do something that's fun. It could not necessarily be a cookie, but I thought that was kind of an interesting thing to do. Because food is a great pleasure in our life. Don't we love food? Don't we love good foods? It isn't sugar one of our basic, you know, like taste buds is sugar. I know we can overdo it, of course, but yeah. What do we have to do to earn a peaceful life? That's a good question, my friend who was in the chat room. What do we have to do to earn a peaceful life? You know, the answer that comes to me really quick on living a peaceful life is choose that. Choose to live a peaceful life. Choose not to watch things or do things that are negative. Choose not to turn on the evening news and watch all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world. Choose to do things that are peaceful. Choose to meditate. Yeah, choose peace, right. Choose meditation. Choose playing with your dog or your cat. Choose doing things that are fun for you, that you love to do. You know, there's a world around you, and I'm kind of rattling on and on about this, and I don't know why, but there's a world around you that's just is anxious and fearful and crazy at times. But that's them. It's not necessarily you. You can tune all that out. You can detune from all of that. You know, I'll give you another example that Spirit's kind of throwing at me about how to choose a peaceful life. Create a peaceful environment where you live. Create an environment that feels good to you, whether it be house plants or furniture or whatever it is that you love. Create that in your environment. So when you have your refuge from the world, when you go home, you just kind of take this deep sigh and go, wow, this just feels so good to be here. I got my favorite chair. I got my favorite books. I got, you know, I got my house plants. I got my kitchen the way it is. I got all the stuff that I have that I love to cook. It's pampering yourself to some degree of what the things that feel good to you in your environment. So create the environment that you love. Create the environment that feels good to you or your family. I mean, some, you know, you have families and there's a little compromise in there, you know. If you got a TV that's on with Westerns all the time, I mean, they may not be that peaceful for you, right? So I'm going to get my headset and I'm going to get my iTunes on and I'm going to listen to my own peaceful music. Yeah. Pick music that feels good or movies that feel good. Yeah, you can create a peaceful environment. You can cocoon yourself into your own world so it feels really good to you. Right? Or you can go out in nature. I was watching the Super Bowl, and I was watching before the game, and I was watching players coming into the stadium, and they had their headsets on. And what they were doing was tuning out the world. They were getting themselves into their own space. Now, what they were listening to, they were listening to hip-hop or country or whatever they were listening to. They were tuning out the world. They had their headsets on. They were involved in their own world, right? So they were creating their own environment because all this craziness around you. Oh, well, now you're being a little negative about that. Would you have to wade through feet? How about, okay, I got an idea for you. I have an app on my phone, and you have it on your phones, or you have it somewhere in your house, or you can buy it. How about nature sounds? Listening to nature sounds. Just turn on some nature sounds, some babbling brooks, some birds singing. I mean, we have so much in the world around us that can make us feel better. I love nature sounds, and I forget to listen to them as much as I could. But, you know, going to bed at night or sitting in the room and reading a book and just listening to some nature sounds, that'll put your imagination out in springtime, you know, the birds singing, you know, all that some fun stuff. So how can you live a peaceful life? That was a great question. And that just opened up all kinds of ideas from Spirit about how to live a peaceful life. And you create it. And I believe in the philosophy, you create your own paradise, right? You can do that. Or go make snow angels. Who cares? You know, you have fun making snow angels and snowmen. Isn't that fun? Have you ever made a snowman? Snow castles. Snow forts. Snowball fights. You can take any environment you're in and do something with it that'll feel good. Now, 2 months of making snow castles and snowballs, and that might get a little old, right? Okay. I'm going to leave you guys. We're going to stop that one. If you have any other questions, please ask. But that's enough of that. What were you doing? Okay. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Led me right into this article from BeliefNet.com, quotes that silence the mind. Ooh, turning off the chatter. Erase tension and anxiety with these quotes on peace. Ooh, and a beautiful question and a beautiful answer. Peaceful thoughts. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Wait a minute, read that again. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. That's in the book of Jeremiah 29:11. Tune yourself into peaceful thoughts from the universe or God, Spirit. Just ask for peaceful thoughts. Ask to be led to peaceful thoughts and not thoughts of anxiety. Okay. Walt Whitman said, peace is always beautiful. Peace is always beautiful. Now, how do you create a peaceful environment? Look for beauty. They have a picture of a waterfall with just, you know, in nature with beautiful blue water and green trees. So if you can't be there, picture it or get paintings of it or look in art books of beauty. Oh, that's a good one. I like art books. Art books. Beautiful paintings. Kind of imagine yourself being in this beautiful setting. CGS. I think I know that it is, but I'm just kind of like choosing peace gives you power to overcome. So get yourself in a peaceful place and you can overcome the obstacles in your life. And we've talked about so many different ways of getting peaceful. We'll talk about more. Stop fighting. Peter McWilliams, and I don't know who Peter is either. If you want peace, stop fighting. If you want peace of mind, stop fighting with your thoughts. Just let go. Enjoy. Relax. Have some fun. Just let it go. Turn it over. Turning over problems to God is one way of getting peace. Just say, okay, God, you take this one. I can't handle this one, right? This is a God project. I'm not doing this one. You just got to take this one and show me the way. I'm going to go have some fun. God, you take care of this one for me. I've rattled my brain. I've thought about it. I bounce back and forth. I have no idea how to solve this problem. Take this one for me. I'm going to have some fun, and you just give me an answer. Bring me the answer, and I'll do what you asked me to do, but just bring me the answer. It's a beautiful way of living. Stop. Oh, I just did Peter. What happened to Peter? I think there was double Peters here. That sounds strange, but okay. Being in a hurry. Never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset. That's Saint Francis de Sales. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever. Learn to do that. Ask for help. Even if your whole world seems upside down. Yeah. Don't lose your peace. Don't let other people influence your peace, right? Yeah, we take on their anxiety, their fear, and we accept it where we don't have to, because that's them. We don't have to be like that. We can say, I reject your anxiety. I reject your fear. I'm just going to be peaceful. Okay, here's a statement from the Dalai Lama. Mental happiness. Mental happiness is more important than physical comfort. Physical comfort comes from the material, but mental facilities cannot provide you with peace of mind. But material facilities cannot provide you with peace of mind. Now you can take that one, roll it around for a while, but it's about just being in peace, finding mental happiness, finding happiness, how you do it. It's a personal thing. It really is a personal thing, right? Everybody's going to find their own sense of happiness in their own particular way. Yes, and as I said, you create your environment with material happiness. Material things can create the environment. Well, there are some people who are happy being homeless, but that's besides the point. So, yes. But you touched on a really important subject here about material comfort. Yeah, material things are nice to have, and if you have beautiful art, and if you have beautiful furnishings, and you have things that you love in your environment that you just love to have and appreciate and share with your friends and your family, that's cool. That is really cool. But if you're obsessed on your material stuff of getting more and more and more, or you're obsessed about losing your material things, you know, so afraid of losing them that they're so valuable to them, you that you could never let them go. There's just, they become so valuable that if you're robbed, it's like at the end of the world, right? And I always think about people who live through hurricanes and tornadoes. What do they usually talk about? They have their few things. They have their family is safe. Their pets are safe. Maybe they have a few memories that are safe, some pictures, some other things. But the rest of the stuff is stuff, right? They can rebuild the stuff. Just what do you value? and not be obsessed with stuff. George Carlin talked about stuff a lot. You know, stuff is fine, but don't put too much value in stuff, because it can be. I remember when I was married, we bought a lot of stuff, bought a lot of stuff on credit, which is like, don't buy stuff on credit, really. You know, it's like, ah. We had a really nice place, a nice nice condominium. We'd have all that stuff, and it was nice. But over the years, I watched the stuff fall apart. You got kids, you got family, you got dogs, you got cats. It just, you know, the stuff kind of wears out. It's nice, but you can't protect it forever. You just enjoy it in the moment, and you know it's just going to go away. You know, that couch is going to get trashed by the dogs and the cats and the kids, and, you know. Just enjoy life. Enjoy your stuff. Have fun with your stuff. You ever go to people's houses where they have plastic on their sofas? Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing, but they don't seem to be enjoying their stuff. You got plastic all over everything. You know, it's just stuff. And maybe they want to preserve it for a while, and that's fine, but it's just stuff. I've known people like that. You go in their house and they go, sit down. And there's this big plastic sheet on top of their sofa. And that's about the most uncomfortable thing in the world. It's not that, like, they take it off for company. They leave it there. You know, this thing's going to last me forever. Okay, I'm going to let my spirit guides talk to you for a few minutes. We're running low on time. And I think they want to talk to you for a few minutes. And then I will be back on Friday. I don't know how much time I'll have left if you have any thoughts or comments or questions. Okay. I'm going to go away and let Bob, who is my spirit, it's a group. They just use that name because it's an easy name to remember, for one thing. And it has no religious overtones to it. Well, we'd like to comment a little bit on that. We'd like to comment about this idea of things, stuff, materials, things that you have. It's not important, but it is important. It has value, but it has no value. Now, that sounds really contradictory. Why would we say it has value, but it has no value? It has value in the moment if it helps you feel. If it helps you feel good, if you feel good about it, if it brings you pleasure, if it brings you, creates a space of love. If it helps maintain that place of love. That peace within the family, having these things just creates more and more of an environment of love in your area, where you live, where you hang out at, what you do. Does your stuff give you freedom to enjoy life? We're going to say to enjoy life. Do you have an automobile that's constantly breaking down and frustrating? And if you don't know if you can use that car to get to work or not, you're anxious about getting to work. It drives, you know, you go out in the morning, you don't know if it's going to start or if it's going to run. In this case, wouldn't it be better to have a newer car that you can rely on? And we're not trying to tell you to go out and buy cars. We're not car salesmen. But what we're saying is, yeah, stuff can have a lot of value in your life. If you have to drive to work and you have a car that's reliable, that's an important stuff. It's a valuable stuff. Unless you just rather ride the bus, that's up to you though. But so if you're hanging on to something and band-aiding it like a car just because you don't want to buy stuff, well, maybe you want to reevaluate that. How frustration is that stuff, right? George doesn't like knickknacks, and we can understand it. He doesn't like the dust. And dusting knickknacks is just like, do I have to create the dust? So you have to make that choice. Is looking at the stuff really important to you, or having the stuff around? You know, sacred objects can remind you of your spirituality. And that's important. Beautiful paintings can remind you of being in nature and stir those feelings of being in nature and being out in nature. Or beautiful art from famous artists, you can feel the emotion of the artist. You can feel the love and the passion they put into the paintings. And that resonates in the room. Now, how many of you don't love to curl up on your couch with a blanket and read a book? Now, doesn't that feel good? So your stuff is really valuable to you in that way. You're not obsessed with it, but it makes you feel, or your favorite chair with a glass of tea or a cup of tea and a book or listening to music. Isn't that the most beautiful feeling? All warm, comfortable, feeling safe in your chair. So, yes, it's good, and yes, it's bad. So, we're not going to praise stuff, but we're not going to dish stuff, to use your expression. We're not saying it's bad. From a spiritual perspective, you've got it in your life because it brings you joy. But does it maintain the joy? Or do you obsess on having to replace it or buying this or buying that? Or are you just buying for the sake of buying? Well, there are people on your planet that just buy for the sake of buying. And it has no intrinsic value to you. Or does it? Or maybe you have pieces of art and pieces of furniture, pieces of whatever it is that have been passed on to you from family members, mothers and fathers and grandparents. And they have this beautiful value and remind you of their relationship that you had with other people. That stuff is really important, isn't it? It has a beautiful remembrance and reminder of these beautiful people in your life. We're talking about stuff here, and we're trying to emphasize it's not good or bad. It's just it's how you value it, and what value does it bring to your life, and what peace does it bring to your life, and what warm emotional feelings does it open your heart to love, right? You have a painting of your grandmother, and does that warm your heart to think about your grandmother and how you used to be in the kitchen with your grandmother and how she used to bake when you were little, and how she would make cookies for you, and how that bonding between you and your grandmother or your grandfather reading a story to you. I mean, sure that there are memories that aren't so good, George, thinking about all the negative memories, but no, wait a minute now. Let's stay with the positive here. Let's stay with love. So seeing a painting or seeing something that was handed down from a family member that brings out that love within you, does your things that you have this have bring out the love within you? Now, that's good. That's good stuff. Absolute stuff. And does stuff help you in your daily adventures, right? Right? Does the stuff help you to get out into the world and see the world? And you can turn on a television, you can watch really negative news and all those crazy, horrible things, the killings, but then you can turn on a nature show. Or you can turn on something that's really funny and humorous and laugh. So stuff can have value. Stuff can be negative. It's your choice. It's what you want to look at, what you want to see, what you want to value in your life. Having a great kitchen, being able to cook really nice foods, that's good stuff, isn't it? Don't you enjoy that? So we're never going to be negative about stuff. We just want you to be, or evaluate your stuff. Does it bring me joy? Does it make me feel good? Does it bring out the love within me? Or do I have to worry about it and be fearful of it? And is it falling apart? And do I have to replace it? And I can't live without it. So, okay, so we'll leave you with that because that's our comments on stuff. And from the spiritual perspective, enjoy it. Have fun with it. Find things that are special to you. Okay. So thank you for listening. Bye. Okay, I'm back. We've used a perfectly good show today, as the guys in the car guys would say, the Click and Clack brothers. You spent a perfectly good hour or whatever, part of an hour with me, and I appreciate that. I love you guys. I love the callers. I love the people in the chat room who put out. Yeah, and I will be back on Friday, 2 days from now. And yeah, dusting. My daughter's always telling me to dust. And I'm going, I don't like to dust. Your dad, you got to dust. And I'm going, oh, do I have to? She goes, hire a maid. And I might do that. Yeah, hire a maid and escape while the dusting's going out, right? So have a good one. Have some fun today. Do some fun things today. Find some peace within your day. Find some peace. Do some peaceful things, right? Find some joy. Eat some girls. Find out where they're selling Girl Scout cookies and go buy a Girl Scout cookie, right? I'm going to look that app up. right away and go, okay, where are they going to be selling them in my neighborhood? So thank you for listening again. Again, as I said, I will be back on Friday. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I have no idea sometimes, and I love you guys and your input because that helps take this show in a different direction. Thank you. Bye.